Welcome to the Special Subjects Cloud Conference. I want to say a little bit about why this conference has come into being, and then go on and speak a little bit more about how to navigate this conference and find your way in it. For many years, I taught at Green Meadow Waldorf School, and I was there at a time where the school was really kind of at its zenith. There were some exceptional class teachers there, and of course, they were seen as the guiding lights of that school and as the ones who really, you know, brought it forward. Now, as I speak to you, I myself have been out of that school for nearly a decade. And there's nobody left there. None of those class teachers have remained. They've all mostly retired, and some have gone on to other schools. And what's interesting is it's still a pretty good school, in certain respects, even a very good school, even though the class teachers who are there now are very new, many of them right out of training. People have been fired right and left, which never used to happen in my day. You know, some classes have had three or even four class teachers. And the class teacher situation right now is not very good there. And that's fine. That happens in schools. It's probably the signs of a transformation, a reinvention. And the school will undoubtedly get even better one day. But why is the school still good? Why does it still get a lot of students? Because those who have not been fired, those who have remained there, one or two of whom even, you know, were there when I was there, that's the special subject teachers. The strength of Green Meadow and the strength of many an established school is not really in the class teachers. They're like the president of the United States. They're just figureheads. You know, it's really the people working with them quietly, a bit in the background. Sometimes parents have not even met some of these individuals over years. They are the ones carrying the school. And I'll put it another way. The class teachers are the flowers. You know, they kind of stand still with their class, and they're transplanted then from classroom to classroom over the years. But basically, there's a kind of static quality about the class teacher. And I'm a class teacher that was my basic work, though I've done specialty teaching as well. So, you know, it's not like I'm speaking sour grapes here. It's just the reality. The special subject teachers are the bees and the butterflies. And we know perfectly well in this time of a crisis for the bees that without bees, pollination can't occur. Without bees, one could lose the world of the flowers and the plants altogether. And the butterflies have their own particular role to play in all of this too. You are the ones who move from class to class to class every day. I may know my own 25, 30, 35 students inside and out deeply. I made it my business when I was at Green Meadow to know the names of almost all of the 400 plus students who were there. I didn't always get all the kindergartners, and some of the high schoolers eluded me, but certainly in the grade school, I knew everybody's name. Most of my colleagues didn't do that. Most class teachers, you know, knew their own children's names, at least after a year or two, and maybe the names of a few others, kids that they encountered in the hall and had to holler at for some reason or other. So that's very different from you. You may, especially in a smaller school, know every child in the class. Not only do you know them, but you also know their brother and sister whom you had 2 or 3 years before. Maybe you have 2 or 3 or 4 kids from the same family right now. You're teaching all of them. You know that family more deeply than any one of the class teachers does. And yet, this is unrecognized. This is unheralded. We make such a big fuss about the class teachers, and we do not make nearly enough of a to-do about the work of the special subject teachers. And we see this in the entire configuration of the Waldorf movement in North America. Why should it be that in, you know, the year 2014, that it's taken us this long to offer this kind of conference, a way in which the special subject teachers can be immersed consciously in the world in which they are embedded by virtue of their work, which is to say the whole developmental class teacher taught subject world of the Waldorf grade school, because nobody ever thinks that much about what the special subject teachers might need to do their work better. It's just expected, they know what they're doing, and if they don't know what they're doing, doesn't matter, we'll just get rid of them, get somebody new. And we have this terrible revolving door picture of the special subject teachers. So my hope is that over time, more and more special subject teachers will be given the possibility by their school that this tuition, bargain basement low though it is, will not be paid by that teacher, will be paid by the school, because the school recognizes the importance of special subject teachers knowing what's behind the work that they are doing and knowing the skill level of the children at a given grade and so on. So I'm going to talk more specifically about, you know, what you're going to experience in this conference. But I just want to say this, you know, that today, rather than being recognized as the all-important bees and butterflies upon whom the whole beautiful world of the plant is completely dependent, instead, using an agricultural analogy, the special subject teachers are seen as the migrant workers of the Waldorf movement. Expendable, dispensable, easily replaced, or if not replaced, we just won't teach that subject this year. It's not so important. Eurythmia has certainly faced this all near extinction at times in the Waldorf movement, and we can't let that happen. And we have to recognize how central the role of the class teacher is. So as I have said when the conferences first began, think equal. That my hope is that this conference will be a step, it can't do it all, but a step in the direction of bringing a greater degree of equality in the life of the special subject teachers vis-a-vis the class teachers, that this will be a step towards a fairer, more equitable income for the special subject teachers, being paid to come to meetings and being treated not like an afterthought, so that you drive through the snow, show up at your school, and there's a note on the door of the one class you're teaching that day: sorry, we're rehearsing our class play, forgot to tell you, something like that. That to bring the special subject teacher more centrally into the consciousness of the colleagues, the administrative staff, and the parents as well. And I think this will also help the children in the way they look at the special subject teachers, to have greater respect and greater regard, and that this will be reflected in their behavior and in the caliber of the work they do as well. And I'm not saying this is a kind of dream. This was a reality in Green Meadow Waldorf School for years and years, and I think it was something of a model there. The special subject teachers were almost all full-time, well-paid, you know, got the benefits, and their opinions, the work that they did, had a very high degree of respect. And so it can happen. It has happened. I don't think Green Meadow's the only school, but alas, I think it's one of just a few schools that have done this. And perhaps these conferences will be something of a consciousness-raising activity, even when the school thinks about, should we pay for this or not, and says yes, that's a huge step forward in your work. And I hope that most of you, or even all of you listening to this, that the school has paid your way to come to this conference, including the airfare, the meals, all of that stuff as well. Okay, so the next lecture, I'll be talking about how to work with this conference and what you can do to derive maximum benefit from it.